That's what we can see. There might be a few more.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll see a small.
The hawks. Have you? I've seen all kinds of different kinds of hawks I haven't seen before.
Yeah,
I think they're decimating it.
Are we ready?
They're coming down looking for
something. I mean, if that's what we're going to call it.
I'll go ahead and call us to order. I'd like to call to order the Government Operations Committee meeting for September 21st, 2022. Roll call, please.
Congressman Big Horse.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw. Chair Keene.
Make note, Congresswoman Shaw's on her way. Chair Keene is present. Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon, could you offer us a prayer, please?
I'd be glad to. Thank you very much, sir. Please bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day here on Mother Earth. We ask that you be with us today. To guide us in making decisions for this great nation that we serve. We thank you for the blessing of the opportunity to also be servants to our people. We ask that you look bless our young, bless our elder. Please bless our people that are in mourning. And please allow anyone who may have any hunger in their home today to be able to have a nice meal this evening. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Approval of minutes. Looks like they were minutes that were sent out for September 14th. Please review. Yes, go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Can we have that door closed that's by Caitlin?
Yes. Thank you, Clerk.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Motion to approve the minutes dated September 14th, 2022.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes for September 14th, 2022. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Moving on. ONCA 22-76, an act to establish a governmental torts claims process for the Osage Nation for the benefit of the public and establish an alternate effective date. The bill is sponsored by Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. ONCA 2276 is born out of a few different sources. It's been brought to my attention by a constituent that there is no legal claim or legal remedy to seek a claim resulting from personal injury on the nation's premises. So we had previously, this body, I believe, passed a Tort Claims Act. It was vetoed. Since then, more instances have come to light that I believe continue to reinforce the need for this type of law. I will be the first to admit I'm not an attorney. This is very heavy on legal language. So I would like to defer to Congressman Keene as often as possible. I believe that Congressman Keene has also made arrangements for the Attorney General to be here. Legislative Council drafted this legislation and essentially covered the main points that I knew needed to be in the law. Now, how it's done or the language that satisfies each of those requirements will kind of be up to them to tell me exactly where. But I want this body to know that we have done this before. It has passed our body before, and I believe that it remains a need for our people. Another source of justification or reasoning for this bill arises from the passage of ONCA 2241, a bill that this body passed a little over a year ago, maybe, an act to prohibit sexual harassment and sexual discrimination, to provide a limited waiver of sovereign immunity, and to establish an alternate effective date. That bill specifically dealt with one portion of what I believe a Tort Claims Act would cover, and that bill was specific to sexual harassment and sexual discrimination. What a tort claims bill does is open the nation to accountability on multiple fronts. And I believe in the discussion on 2241, it was suggested by a current member of this body, you know, why aren't we doing more? Why aren't we expanding this? And why doesn't 2241 cover other items? The answer is ONCA 2276 will. 2276 provides accountability for this government. It provides an avenue for our employees, and it provides an avenue for citizens of the nation and regional constituents to be able to seek remedy through Osage Nation courts. So what this does, and by design and specifically request, this limits it to Osage Nation courts. It provides a process for a tort to be brought to the Attorney General. The Attorney General is then able to render whether or not a claim is warranted, at which point it is allowed to proceed through our court system. What this does do is also protect the nation. Let me see, on page 6, I believe. Nope, My apologies. There are the limits. So it'd be page 3. Page 2 and 3 does limit the liability of the Osage Nation so that it does place a cap on what type of or the amount of claim that can be paid out. That limit is similar to what exists in current state law, where there is not an unlimited liability to the nation or to the sovereign. So happy to entertain any questions. Most of the questions will be deferred to legal counsel. I'll just let you know that up front. But I think that this bill addresses a specific need at a time when things are not settled. You know, I've heard from many constituents, you know, whatever happened with that claim or that allegation. Some of the things, even from 2241, are not settled, in my mind. What we have with regard, specifically in that case, to sexual harassment or potential sexual harassment, is the individual was, I believe the individual had their claim settled. And the primary reason for settling the claim was that there was no legal remedy for a constituent of ours, an Osage citizen, an Osage woman, to seek a legal claim. And so their option was to settle or no remedy. So this bill, or 2241, provides for that that type of arrangement. But 2276 opens the door for our constituents to have remedies that are not previously provided. I'm open to any questions.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Keene, or Chair Keene. So I just want to be really careful about, I mean, Congressman Potts, you made the comment, you believe there was a settlement. So I want to be really careful about that particular line going down about I believe. We don't have any documentation to show what did or didn't happen on that particular situation. So I just want to be very careful and clear about that. So you did mention a veto message. Can we reference that veto message from a previous tort claim? And could we get that possibly sent to the committee? Thank you much. I appreciate that. You mentioned that a lot of the stuff has a lot of legalese, you know, in here. And but you did mention that there's some things in here that you specifically requested. Could you tell me what those are?
Specifically limiting it to our courts in our jurisdiction.
Okay.
I also specifically requested a cap on the limited liability. So that it is not, somebody can come in and sue the nation for millions. And I also specifically requested that it, the biggest one was that it was timely, that it would be able to be introduced this session.
Oh, that time to be introduced, okay.
Correct.
I'm sorry, I have another question. Okay. All right. So this is a lot for me to actually digest and understand, and I've read through it a few times and still have some questions, and I'm glad that Mr. Patterson is here, our AG. I'd like to just kind of maybe hear where he's at with this and anything that he sees that we need, you know, just some input from Mr. Patterson.
Thanks, Congresswoman Lemon. I also, AG Patterson, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, so I just have one question right off the top. Do we have codified torts in our laws?
No, we don't. And we don't have common law torts at this time either.
Yeah, so I'm for this, but I think what Cuggy Soup and all used to say, maybe a bill's not quite ready for showtime or something like that. But
not quite ready for prime time.
I think that... A.G. Patterson, wouldn't you agree that the first thing, we need a bedrock codified tort laws so we know what someone would be able to actually say, you know, tort X was what happened. Go ahead, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sure, I agree with that statement. We should have codified torts before this, but some of my comments were to either list the torts in there or... codify the torts themselves. And also, I don't see how this functions for me as or the Office of the Attorney General to make a decision and then allow the claim to go to court. I might be just missing that, but...
Mr. Chair, if I can...
Yeah, go ahead, Congressman Ponson. I want to follow up with that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will defer to you. And Mr. Attorney General, that is one of the provisions that Mr. Gill, our legal counsel, came up with. And I believe Congressman Keene initially raised the same concern. Mr. Gill has entered the room. So I can defer to Congressman Keene and Legislative Counsel Gill. We've addressed that, raised it. Congressman Keene had the same concern. So,
Go ahead, Counsel Gill. I just want to echo what AG Patterson said. Go ahead, Counselor.
I briefly heard the Attorney General voicing a concern over it going to the AG's office, then making a decision, and then the case still being able to go on. Is that correct, Mr. Patterson?
Yes, Mr. Gill. I didn't see how that operated within the bill.
Okay. Let me take a look here at the language. It's been a little bit since I've looked at it.
Claim and notice. Madam Chair, while we're waiting for Mr. Gill to work through that, specifically regarding a question or concern that you had raised, I think that there is warrant, and I've been meaning to ask this question. I'm glad Mr. Attorney General is on the call. The previously mentioned settlement or the Osage News article dealing with that specifically, it says documents obtained by the Osage News on April 20th include a letter dated March 16th, 2021 from the woman's attorney to the nation's attorney, Gordon Dean Luthy Jr. of Gable and Galtwalls, and discusses terms of a proposed settlement. I can't imagine that we either didn't settle that or somehow it didn't land in court. So Mr. Attorney General, I hate to put you on the spot, but has there been a settlement in that specific sexual harassment case?
I have not seen a sexual harassment claim come through this office. That was a confidential settlement that did not include me, so I can't speak to that.
So there, you said it is a confidential settlement that did not include you. Is there a settlement?
I don't know. I don't know if they settled it or not. I like I said, there was no sexual harassment claim that ever came through here. The Office of the Attorney General.
Okay. I think what you're looking for, Mr. Patterson, is on page 6 under section 7, claim approval and denial. It goes through that a claim is deemed denied if the Osage Nation fails to approve the claim in its entirety within 90 days, unless the Osage Nation has denied the claim or reached a settlement with the claimant before the expiration of that period. And it goes on through there. So I see it may have been better placed in the bill if it had been with the claimant notice or shortly thereafter. That probably could be change to make it read a little bit easier, so the process is laid out a little bit cleaner, but it is there.
Thank you, Counsel Gill. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, AG Patterson.
So just to comment from what Mr. Gill said, so this is a two-step process. The Attorney General approves the claim, and then the claim goes to tribal court?
No. So if you approve the claim, then the claim would be paid by the nation. If you deny the claim, then they have the option to, if they feel they still have a viable case, they can file their petition in the court and try to make the claim.
Okay. That clarifies that, but I just didn't see it in the bill working that way.
So thank you, and I think there'd be a lot more too, because then we'd need processes for that even, right? Like, So basically in court, you'd have like what's called a show cause hearing. So then, I mean, there's like Congresswoman Lemon said, there's a lot of complexity to this bill. So I think it's great, a great idea broadly now, but it needs a lot of work. So anyone else? Go ahead, Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my question would be, is this open to anybody? I mean, because we have a lot of visitors that come through, you know, because of our tourist destination now. And there's going to be a lot of probably non-natives that are going to be looking around. And does that put us on the hook for them?
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congressman Big Horse, thank you for your question. I don't know that I would characterize as being put on the hook. We have a responsibility to, yes, non-natives that come through our facilities. We've often expressed the desire for our clinic to someday be a healthcare system that is able to serve non-natives. It's worth noting that our clinic adheres to a Tort Claims Act. The nation does not. Our casinos adhere to a Tort Claims Act that covers non-natives. Our nation does not. So while, yes, it can be characterized as putting us on the hook to provide these services in a acceptable manner, I believe it's holding our government accountable to say that if we are offering these services, we're going to do it in a responsible manner. And the reasoning for this bill, another specific one, is we had an instance at one of our fitness centers where an Osage constituent of ours was injured. And I believe we claimed sovereign immunity to avoid covering medical bills. That's not the type of government that I want to be a part of. If we're operating a fitness center, if we're operating any system of government, any service to our people, I think we need to be doing it in an accountable manner.
Go ahead, Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I was not intending non-natives that are employed by the tribe or the example that you just given. That wasn't what I was getting at.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But Congressman Big Horse, it would open the nation to those tort claims, which is why specifically it goes through our courts and our Attorney General's office. That is the barrier of protection that I felt was needed.
So a hypothetical, what this would do, let's say someone goes up to the visitor center and they slip and fall. We didn't have signage out. That's under tort, that's negligence. So currently there's no legal recourse for someone under, you know, because we can hide under the shield of sovereign immunity. They can't sue us for that. But what this would do is allow them to seek redress through our Osage Nation courts, basically. So just to provide a situation that makes it easier to understand. Anyone else? Go ahead, Congressman Maker, and then Congresswoman Lemon.
Yeah, I think there's many types of incidents that can happen, but I think we do need something if we don't have anything at all on our code to address this. It needs to be done someday. If you say it's not ready for prime time yet, but this also protects the nation. I mean, it doesn't just protect the individual. Also gives a protection for the nation. Thank you.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon, and I want to make one point after she's done. Go ahead.
Mine was more about some of the language in the bill, so if it's more of an overarching, I can yield to you, sir.
Like AG Patterson said, we can define the torts within this bill, so it's not like we need like an expansive tort code that's separate. We can define what it is in the bill itself. So go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I was looking, and if you guys Mr. Patterson and Mr. Potts, on page 2, paragraph C, I found the word after shall immediately. I found those two interesting. So can you just kind of tell me what your thought process was there, Congressman Potts?
Again, the language came from legal counsel.
Okay.
I would hope that that would be investigated immediately. If you have a claim filed against the nation seeking assistance for medical benefits or medical expenses that you've incurred as a result of being injured on property of the Osage Nation, I would hope that that wouldn't be placed in file 13 and not addressed immediately.
Okay. Do you have any comment on that, Mr. Patterson?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I was trying to link that with the time limit for denial. So if you read them together, I'm sure there's language that would force us to investigate the claim immediately. I'm just not, I haven't had the time to link those two together, but
thank you,
Mr. I don't have a problem with the word immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. So that was something else about the timeline that I was going to ask about. I apologize. Maybe it was in D. Well, this is something a little bit different. So help. I think I'm confusing myself, Congressman Potts, to be quite honest. So I could use somebody else's eyes or somebody else's. Help me with paragraph D concerning the starting at line. Basically, the last sentence of paragraph D. The time for giving written notice of claim pursuant to the provisions of this section does not include the time during which the person injured is unable to do incapacitation from, is unable due to incapacitation from the injury to give such notice, not exceeding 90 days of incapacity. So give me an example.
If you're in a coma for 90 days, we're not going to count it against you.
So you have 90 days, and if you're in a coma for 90 days,
no, but you have 90 days from the time that you are not incapacitated.
You are not incapacitated. So when you wake up from your coma.
Correct.
Thank you. I was confusing myself because I was like, if you're there and you're in a coma, how in the world? I was getting it backwards. I appreciate that. Okay. So when A.G. Patterson was talking about the timeline of when this is submitted, so immediately means like you pick it up right then and you prioritize it and he assigns it to someone or he does it himself in his office. Is that what your thought process was, Congressman Potts?
My thought process on the word immediately would be that the Attorney General is given authority by this bill to determine what immediately means.
Okay. So knowing that we need a little bit, it needs some, either we insert the tort stuff here, you know, via amendment, via committee substitute, you know, that's going to take a little bit more time as far as defining all of that, you know, and narrowing that scope down would be my easiest way for me to say what we're going to look at here and get this ready for the prime time and working with A.G. Patterson and everything. I'm not against continuing this discussion in the fundamental idea of being responsible. So I hope that you continue to work on this. And in fact, you know, maybe, you know, because this is such an extensive, broad bill, in my opinion, and it's something we haven't really had before. And like, that's why I wanted to see the veto message also. Did you reflect some of that in here from the veto message?
I did ask our legal counsel to address some of those concerns, yes.
Okay, great. That's kind of why I wanted to see the veto message. I appreciate that. So ultimately, I would like to see some of the tort, you know, type definitions and things that you might be working on. Just to have a little bit longer time to go through all of it, to better understand it and bring this back and continue to talk about it. Thank you.
There's something else we also have to consider too. So if this becomes law and we're actually paying out the claims that get approved, well, we hold the purse strings. So we got to fund, we also have to fund it. So that comes along with this. So that's just something also to keep in your brain, so.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, A.G. Patterson.
Yeah,
Thank you, Congressman Keene. That's exactly one of the questions I had. And also, how does this work in conjunction with our insurance, Tribal First? Because most of these claims we hand off to them to handle, because they're the actual ones who are going to be paying out. So that's something I would need to look into as well.
Mr. Chair. Excellent observation. Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Attorney General, you are correct. Most of those would go immediately to our insurance company. I believe in an instance that's already been presented, when presented the opportunity, the insurance company urged us to express or claim sovereign immunity. And so I can't imagine there would be a case in which the insurance company would not recommend we exercise sovereign immunity. This would be an additional step to provide accountability to the people. So I agree that this generally would go to our insurance company, although I think if we scratch the surface, we're going to find that we've asserted sovereign immunity, which is the need for this bill. Regarding the funding, yes, it would create a liability, hopefully one that we would never need. And I think that that's the reason for adequately funding our services here, giving our frontline employees everything they need to provide a safe environment for the public, a safe working environment for the employees. If we fix those problems for adequate training during our budgetary session, then we avoid those claims. What is the old adage? A penny saved is a penny earned. If we're doing our job to make sure that we have adequate training, we have adequate facilities, we limit the need for the liability.
Thank you. Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Keene. And so I was just wondering, Mr. Potts, on page 2 and the top of page 3 under the limitations, because I have never been a person that has ever had to utilize a tort claim in any way, shape, or form, and I hope that I never have to, honestly. Talk to me about the amounts that you have here and you know, where you, I'm sure you researched it and where that came from.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Trace, go ahead. On my page 3, so I apologize, but I think the amounts were 175 and 500,000.
Yes, and then the one on page 2 is 25,000.
Correct. So it's kind of a scaling effect. It's also consistent, I believe, with the state of Oklahoma.
That's where you, for the state of Oklahoma?
I asked him to look at other jurisdictions. I think that's the immediate one we pulled.
Okay.
I'm not confident of that, but I believe so.
Okay. I was just wondering if you would be willing, if that would be something you would be willing to discuss in the future. Of decreasing those amounts, possibly.
Certainly.
That would be another way that we could still have some responsibility on the books, but at the same time, keeping the wallet closed a little bit, I guess.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? If not, the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
I'd be happy to make a motion. My intent was not to get this bill out today. For the discussion of the committee, my intent was to either request an interim study on this topic specifically, or to work through this bill for the next week with the hope of being able to present something later on in this session. So I would like to present that to the committee if we would like to move forward with an interim study on this topic, or if defining the torts, setting up a revolving fund potentially for any liability that is paid, or figuring out a different liability cap, listing the torts, rearranging the timeline for claims and notices, and I believe I had one more change. If we address those, do we want to move forward with the bill during the session? Removing the alternate effective date for me. If we address those, do we want to move forward with it in this legislative session, or would we prefer to go forward with an interim study?
To be frank, I don't think there's no way we would get this out this session. So I would rather just place it on hold. I don't know how the committee feels. Go ahead, committee.
I would like to definitely study this more. Absolutely. It is something completely new for us. And I would like to have conversations with Mr. Patterson also, if he'd be willing to. And then, of course, anybody else that we would need to come in. Because I think it's interesting the comment made, you know, about our insurance that we currently have and the process that we currently use. And I think it would be very important and beneficial to talk about what do we currently do. Not just that, not that you're not telling us what we currently do, Mr. Potts, but just even from another's perspectives on what do we currently do in these situations, and what are some pros and cons of both situations, and really weighing, you know, what we're doing here. So I'm ready to postpone it. I'm not against the interim study. So I'm open, but I do think that Mr. Potts understands that it's, you know, it's going to be postponed at this point, and then we're going to either continue to work on it in one fashion or another.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
I'd like to make a motion to postpone ONCA 2276 to the call of the chair with an eye for an interim study.
There's been a motion. Is there a second?
Second for discussion.
Go ahead.
Congressman Potts, I'm not the best on the rules, and you're probably better than I am, but on the interim study, do we have to make a motion for that? I mean, I thought we have before
Mr.
on
Chair.
Something.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's not a motion to grant an interim study that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Any member can request an interim study of the speaker, and it has to be granted by the speaker, I believe.
Okay, speaker. Okay. I knew there was something there.
So
okay.
This motion would simply just postpone the bill to the call of the chair with the eye for an interim study. I will take care of requesting the interim study, and if the speaker feels that that's needed, we can move forward with an interim study.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Congressman Potts.
Chair.
Go ahead, Clark.
What are you saying before interim study?
It was just postponement of the bill.
Yeah, but an aye? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Oh.
You're looking forward to it.
Moving on to agenda item number 6, ONCA 22-77, an act to establish a revolving fund in the Treasury for storm shelter assistance, to authorize expenditures out of the fund and establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My apologies. ONCA 22-77, we've discussed this bill. There have been requests to remove the revolving fund language. I believe we're working off of committee substitute that I don't have right in front of me. My apologies. Certainly willing to work through removing the revolving fund language, but would like to see the language creating the benefit remain. So open to move however the committee would like.
The floor is open. Congresswoman Lemon, go ahead.
May I have some open dialogue with Mr. Potts?
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Potts, so what you're saying is looking at this bill here, is that right now you're not finalized on that language yet as far as removing the revolving fund issue. So are you wanting to just table this for now, postpone it? Because we do have a long agenda today, and were you expecting to have that figured out by possibly, what is it, 5 o'clock today that we're here till?
Yes, ma'am.
Push you. I'm just saying, is that something you were thinking of, or I'm just trying to understand what your thought process is?
Certainly, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe two of the other bills, at least two of the other bills are mine. They will have similar fates. My hope is that we're able to work on this bill and get it out. Although the revolving fund isn't something that I believe in, I'm willing to accept that. So if the committee is willing to work on that, I'd be happy to work on it today.
So, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Okay, so would you like to table this for now and continue to move on so that then you can work on it? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure that the revolving fund is something that I'm needing to work on. I'm perfectly okay with it as is. I believe some other individuals had expressed interest to remove the language for the revolving fund. I'm certainly willing to entertain that and happy to discuss, and I believe that that work can be done in committee today. I wouldn't like to see it tabled. My preference is for this bill to go through, for the benefit to be created. I believe we've expressed some intent, or the idea has at least been stated, to insert a reduced appropriation amount into the operating budget. I'm certainly open to that. So however the committee would like to proceed.
And I want to know, this is the third time we're seeing this bill in committee. So I think we've had extensive debate. I don't want to call it a bad penny. I think it's a great bill, but you get the reference. Anyone else in the committee? Go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Chair, thank you. And I agree that we have discussed this on multiple occasions. Can you remind me, Chair, why we did not move it out in the previous meeting when it was discussed?
It was exactly this. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Congressman Potts, but there was hesitancy with the revolving fund. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Yes. Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I that's this conversation I remember too. And I remember the words that I used in the last meeting that, you know, everybody, I would love for everybody to have a shelter and everything. And, you know, as time goes by and we sit through our meetings and we go home and we contemplate and we have other conversations, I'm definitely there about not creating another revolving fund specifically, which is to germane to this particular piece of legislation we're talking about at this very moment. And so that's why I haven't had a conversation since that meeting concerning is someone picking up an amendment to amend it into ONCA 2297. Oh, no.
The operating bill, 9594.
Right, ONCA 2295. And so I would like to have some time to maybe see if somebody's going to do that, if there's an intent to do that. I'm not saying that I'm supporting it or not. I'm just saying I want to know if that's kind of coming down the pike. And that's why I was trying to get to, do we want to table it until we can have that conversation? And I know we're going to probably have a recess at some point in time today. And if it being tabled, then you just pick it right back up later on. And that's where I was trying to head with that. I apologize if I wasn't clear enough.
Mr. Chair, if I can answer.
Go ahead, and then I want Congresswoman Shaw after, and then Maker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've requested a floor amendment already for the $250,000, which I believe is a lesser amount, to be inserted into 2295, I believe. It might be 94. But I've already done that work. It hasn't been introduced yet because we haven't had that opportunity.
Thank you. Go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. At this point in this session, at this point in our budget session, I'm looking at this more so from a budget perspective. And are we at a point to where we must start making decisions as far as what we can and cannot do? I agree that it's a good, it's a good intent. I think that it would be great if we could include this. So I don't know if tabling or doing more work in this committee is needed, considering the fact that we have debated it on a couple of different occasions. So I would be more apt to get it out and let the body of Congress vote on this particular bill. Thank you.
Go ahead, Congressman Maker, and then Congressman Bakehorst, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do support this. I do know there's opposition to some of the word here, especially the revolving fund. Nobody wants another revolving fund. We have, I don't know what the last count was of our revolving funds. But this is needed for our people. And I'd be feeling pretty bad if we didn't help our people with the storm shelters when tornado season comes through here and a family gets killed because they don't have a storm shelter. So think about that.
Go ahead, Congressman Bakehorst.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am all for this. I just have concern on page one, under D, expenditures out of the storm shelter assistance fund shall be limited to 50% of the total purchase and installation cost of a storm shelter or a safe room per household. And I'm afraid that in today's climate and the way that things are right now, there's going to be a lot of people, I feel like a lot of Osages, that are going to want a storm shelter, but yet they're not going to have the other 50% to be able to start to qualify for the 50% that is being proposed.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congressman Big Horse, the committee adopted a committee sub. I don't believe it was at the last meeting, but the stamped copy that I've got is dated September 14th, 22 at 9:05 a.m. The committee voted to adopt that committee substitute, and it remedied all those concerns that were previously brought up. We're now at a not to exceed $3,000 per adult member of the Osage Nation for a total purchase. Installation cost of a storm shelter. I believe that's already been amended to include language for rehabilitation of existing shelters. The committee sub addresses shelters that may be removed from the home or the residents by an Osage constituent, and then may see a subsequent occupant of a home who is Osage apply for the benefit. So we've addressed all of those concerns in the committee substitute.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. I know I'm getting ready to ask a question about something that you have yet to be able to actually put in front of us, but speaking to the amendment that you talked about making to the actual budget, to rather than creating a revolving fund for this and then putting the money in the budget, the amendment, I understand, will put the money in the actual operating budget. Is there language included with that that we, that's consistent with what we amended here on this bill that talks about the amount and like per person? So basically, is it kind of, is it merging those things? I mean, I understand where we have, you haven't presented your amendment yet, but.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Congresswoman Redcorn. And that underscores why I believe this needs to be a revolving fund. An amendment to the operating bill or operating budget for the nation would include no language that expresses how the $250,000 is to be spent. Only a line item stating $250,000 is available in direct assistance, which is why I would like for this bill to go through to create the assistance or establish the program to be funded. So I'm certainly open to removing the revolving fund language, but would like to see the bill go forward as is so that the program is officially created in law and it's not just a $250,000 appropriation to our executive branch. Without 2277 going forward, again, those funds would just be there for the executive branch to operate with no limitation, no guidance, and no plan.
Thank you. And I'd like to reiterate what Congresswoman Shaw said. This is now the third time we've seen this bill here. I agree with her. We should just go ahead and get this out, and then we can go ahead and, if there's any unanswered questions, the body can take that up as well. So I'm just one member, obviously, but that's my advice. Anyone else? Go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. Just one more question. I'm looking at the committee substitute that you referenced. And just to make sure I haven't missed an amendment, but is the five-year retro still in the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
I need to revert to the clerk's meeting notes. I believe we struck that. I'm not confident, but I believe we did.
I apologize. What was the question? So the amendments that you guys made to the committee substitute were striking lines 76 through 79. Not sure off the top of my head what if that's the 5 years.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be reflecting the striking of any retroactivity. So it has been removed from the committee substitute by amendment.
Thank you. Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Okay, so I'm not where you guys are with moving it out. It's got, I know that we can do a lot of amendments on the floor and everything. And like I said in my, I think my opening comments, we talk about all these things. We get together and we talk about it and we go home and we think about it. And right now, and I get people say, well, let's get it out of committee. Let's see what the Congress wants to do. Okay. You know, that's fine too. I can go either way. I've done both. So there's just some, you know, the revolving fund is an issue that can be amended out fairly easily here, or it can be amended out on the floor. And where I'm going with this is that I don't know if I'm going to support this initiative this round. And it's not personal. It's not anything other than looking at, for me, you know, and I can only vote for my vote, you know, but I just don't know if that's, you know, where I'm at with this right now. Biggest problem I have, besides the fact that it's a revolving fund, is the fact that all understanding and delineating what homeownership means to the nation, to us. What does that mean, homeownership? And that's one of the guiding reasons as to why I've got a lot of, you know, hesitancy here with this. And that was discussed in our last meeting. And that's part of the reason why I believe this bill was postponed. So I'm not there yet. And even if the amendment comes forth and I appreciate you reducing the amount to $250,000. You heard people talking about, why does it need to be that much? And I understand why it does. It's just a simple fact that the homeownership is really getting me, besides the fact that I don't even know if I'm going to support any of the extra asks at this point in time. Today, this morning when I woke up, prayed about it, you know, I'm at this point today, I'm not there. I could change my mind, because I've changed my mind on if I'm going to vote for some of the appointees, and I've changed it back. So I'm just not there, Congressman Potts, and I don't know if I can get there because, for one, the homeownership, and then for two, all the extra asks, because I remember feeling like I did, what those feelings were when we sat in here in 2019 and 20 and what we looked at. And I know at my own home and my own budget, I've really tightened it up since then. And I'd really like to pump the brakes a little bit. That's just where I'm at right now. It's nothing personal, but just that's where I'm at.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have requested an amendment. Requested Mr. Gill contact Congressman Rivard specifically to address the homeownership in this bill. So I've already requested that amendment. I believe that's easily something that can be done in a floor amendment. Again, I'm open to the discussion of removing the revolving fund. I'd be happy to discuss any amendments today. From anybody who feels that that's a sticking point with this bill. But I certainly wouldn't advocate for holding this bill in committee just because one member may be a no vote.
Sure.
Thank you. The chair will entertain motion. If no one else has anything else. Go ahead, Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. To be quite honest, I would like to make a motion to adjust the language on this, but I'm not being the person that did not write this bill. I want to make sure that it gets, you know, I want to make the motion to remove the language of the revolving fund. However, I want to make sure that the right language gets put in. So I know that's sounding like a choppy motion. However,
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
I'd like to make a motion to the recess to the call of the chair for the purpose of drafting amendments.
Yes, we are recess until 11:52.
Trey. I'm for taking it out.
Before I could vote.
It's not my idea to take it out.
Or do pass. I want to know about the homeownership.
I'm for it. I'm open to it.
Now come on now. Well, with all due respect.
Whatever amendment Congresswoman Rebard comes up with Trey, I will support that.
It's a storm shelter. Doesn't everyone qualify?
Well, the bill states that you have to be the homeowner to put it in your home.
Yeah, that knocks out all the village people.
probably end in camp.
And no, it doesn't. Well, it, no, a lot of have home ownership. No.
You do, but a lot of it's divided.
Why but we're
not all of it's divided, and even if it is, that's something they have to deal with.
That will have to be cleared up.
So that part should go in there about division.
Well, for
are there a bunch of homes that don't have an actual?
But if we can get it out of committee without
sale,
I would vote
for an inheritance.
Moving